How many of you have seen the movie Back to the Future? Anybody? I know it's, when I was a kid, I used to love this movie. It was just a fun movie, and I won't spoil it for you if you've not seen it, and you need to try to track it down somewhere. I don't know where you can find it, maybe the library or whatnot. But it's basically a story about this teenage boy who has to go back in time to when his parents were teenagers, before they met, and he has to fulfill a certain task. And then when he fulfills that task, he can go back to the future. And it's a great story. It's a fun story that creatively, you know, connects the past and the present and the future and shows how they relate to one another. And I encourage you to watch it, even if you just want to see the DeLorean, which is an interesting car. But it's a great little movie. I thoroughly enjoyed it when I was a kid. But this morning, I was thinking about that movie because this morning I want to take us on a trip through time. And first, I want us to go back to the past, and then I want us to go back to the future, and then I want to bring us back to the present, okay? And if you think about it, as you read through the scripture, it's common for the people of God to go back to the past with their memory. Actually, God tells them to do that. There are several times in the scripture where God actually tells them to remember what he has done. They're to remember the past in order to move forward in the present and into the future. There's a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that you're probably familiar with. It's one of the most common or popular passages in the Old Testament. In verses 4 through 9 in chapter 6, this is what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 through 9. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." Now, many of you have heard this passage before. It's a well-known passage. But do you know why they are told to continually rehearse the Word of God with those around them? Well, Moses tells us in verses 10 and following, and this is what he says. "And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, and when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." And so what Moses is telling the people is that when you move into the blessings of God, be careful that you don't forget that it's God who brought you to that place. You need to remember. As you experience the current blessings that God gives you, you need to go back to the past and remember it was the Lord who brought you out of slavery. It's the Lord that did this great work in your life. And as a church, we're to do the same thing. We need to continually remember primarily what Christ has done for us, because it's through Jesus Christ we experience God's love. Okay, we have this direct access to the Father, and we have eternal life. It's through the delivery that comes through the work of Christ that he rescued out of the slavery of sin and gave us this new life in him. And we also, even after he does that, we come to the point of salvation. He continually works in our lives and in our midst, and we need to acknowledge that, not only in the present, but we need to reflect on how he's worked in our lives in the past. And so what I want to do this morning as we start this new year is I want to just reflect for a moment on what we have seen the Lord do this past year in the midst of our church family, so that we can remember the Lord and celebrate and worship him. You know, this past year we saw four people place their faith in Jesus Christ in our church family and follow the Lord in baptism. And in addition to those four, we also saw two others become members of our church through baptism. Over the past year, 2013, we saw 11 people join our church family, become members of our church, as well as two other members that moved back and are involved in our church now as well. You may remember at the end of 2012, we discussed and passed a very conservative yet vision-driven budget that helped us to get aligned with, you know, where God has been had been working in our church, in our finances anyway. And so we passed this budget, and through your faithful and generous and sacrificial giving, we not only met our budget this past year, but we exceeded it by $35,000, which is the first time we've done that in several years. And so the Lord was truly working through your faithful and sacrificial giving this past year. Also, when you think about Sunday school, as you know, Sunday school is one of the most important things we do as a church family, because it's in those small groups that you get to know one another. You study the Bible together. You pray for one another. You bear one another's burdens. That's where biblical community can really be experienced in its fullness, not just at this 11 o'clock worship service, even though this is important as well as we gather together as the church as a whole. Those small groups, those Sunday school classes are very important. And so this past year, it was encouraging to see us start a new adult class, and that class is going well. Speaking of Sunday school, our goal is to see 80% of the people who attend the worship service get involved in Sunday school, which is a very encouraging and challenging and bold percentage of people. And it's to my delight to tell you that over this past year, we saw that happen, where we saw 80% of the people who would attend our worship services be involved in Sunday school. And there were several Sundays where we saw over 80 people in Sunday school, which is a large improvement and encouragement for this past year. Our worship attendance this past year, we were trusting the Lord to see 100 people gather for worship by the end of 2013. And I was very encouraged to see us move beyond that 100 worshiper mark several times, with our highest attendance being Easter Sunday with 184 in attendance. When you think of outreach, there are several initiatives that we had in place that we sought to reach out to our neighbors individually and corporately as a church. And one of the encouraging outreaches that we took part in was called the 40 Days of Ministry, where we were active in being the body of Christ in our community, not just in the building, but we were seeking to get out of the building and be the body of Christ in the community and be involved in ministry. And during that month, that 40-day span, where every day we had some type of ministry activity going on for the good of the city, to put Christ on display, we had thousands of hours volunteered during those 40 days, as well as the majority of our church serving during that month of local missions. And we've also seen some neat things happen in our music ministry. We were able to purchase, because of your generosity, new hymnals that we were able to put in the hands of you all, even as we sang today. And that gives us more access to even more theologically rich worship music. Many of you have heard our children's choir sing on several occasions, which has been very encouraging to see that choir grow. And thanks to the faithful work of our volunteers and parents and teachers to make that happen, as well as our handbell choir. You've seen them lead in worship through those instruments several times this year, through the faithful practice of those individuals that come each and every Sunday, and thanks to the leadership of Bob. And those are just a handful of ways, as we just think back, as I just sat there and thought back over this past year and how the Lord has worked, those are just a few of the ways that we saw God show up and do neat things among us. And if I had time, I could go into how the Lord worked through the WMU groups and the fellowship club and the share room, the children's ministry, the youth ministry, as well as the senior adult ministry. And like I said, these are just some ways that we saw the Lord work in and among his people. And what I want to do now is just take a moment. And I hope that you are encouraged by that. And I want us to remember that it's the Lord who does that. It's the Lord that blesses us. It's because of what Christ has done, not because of what we do, but it's because of what Christ has done that brings us together, and the Lord can do great things in our midst. And so what I want to do is just take a moment and go before the Lord and just pray and thank Him for all that He's done over the past year. And then we'll turn our attention to this year to come. So let's pray together. Lord God, as we just reflect on this year, personally and corporately as your church, as the body of Christ in this community, we are so thankful for the great things you've done. Things that only you could do. Seeing people come to know Christ, seeing people baptized and joining our church family, seeing people step out of faith, out of their comfort zone to minister to those they don't know, to knock on doors and welcome people to our community and invite them to Vacation Bible School or to worship with us here, to pay for someone's laundry, to serve in a nursing home, in an Alzheimer's home, to work with children and youth, senior adults, to use their talents that you've given them through music to aid in worship. Lord, there are just so many ways that you have been evident in our lives this past year, and we give you the praise and the honor for that. Lord, help us not to forget all those things as well as primarily what you've done for us in Christ. Lord, help us be a people that remember well so that we can move forward by faith in you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's exciting to, you know, just think about all that God has done. And now what I want us to do is, now that we've reflected on the past, I want us to go back to the future. I want us to look forward. And I love what Paul says in the book of Philippians. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, this is what he says. He says, "Not that I've already obtained all this or already have arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that which Jesus Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." And so as we stand on this, the beginning of 2014, I want us as a church to reach forward to what lies ahead. What does God have for us in this new year? And we see here what Paul says is that his goal is to press forward, press toward the goal of knowing Christ and making Him known. And that's exactly what I'd love to see for us as a church, that we would continue to press forward in knowing Christ and making Christ known in our city. And I want to just list a few things here that I would love for us to trust the Lord for in 2014. So you may even want to jot these down. These could be some ways you can be praying this year and be active in trusting the Lord with a number of these things here. But I want to continue to ask the Lord. I want us to continue to ask the Lord to bring more worshipers into our worship service at 11 o'clock. You know, it's so encouraging if you were here during our Christmas Eve service when this whole area was just full of people. Every pew was taken. Every seat was taken. And that's what these pews were built for people to sit in. And wouldn't it be great to see all of our neighbors that are around us to come and join us to worship Christ together here? And wouldn't that be a wonderful thing to see? And I think it's a great thing also to trust the Lord for. And so, specifically, I would love for us to trust that the Lord raise up 125 worshipers that would worship consistently here by the end of the year. And let's pray and let's ask Him to do that. Also, in our choir, we have a wonderful choir. Bob does a fantastic job with them. But we would love to see our choir grow to 20 members or more. And so if you have been thinking about joining the choir, or you know someone who would be great in the choir, then I would encourage you to challenge them or be in prayer about that and join the choir even this year. You can talk to Bob about it and he can give you all the information. But we'd love for you to consider that as we seek to gather for worship every Sunday. You've heard me say this many times before, but one of the best things we do as a church is Sunday school. gathering together in these small groups, and we want to continue to encourage everyone to be involved in a Sunday school class. And it's one of the best ways you can grow in your relationship with the Lord. And we have several classes that meet at 9:45. And last year we had a great year of Sunday school involvement. But if we see the Lord, if He is gracious to us and we do see growth, if we saw, for example, 125 people gather for worship here, and we continue to try to strive for the 80% of people that worship with us to be involved in Sunday school, that means we would need to make room in our Sunday school classes for 100 people, which means that we would both need to make room in our existing classes as well as start new classes, at least one new class this year. And so I want you to be in prayer with me that the Lord raise up teachers and leaders for these new classes. During Sunday evenings, we're going to have several opportunities for you to worship in a number of different ways. I mentioned this earlier, but on most Sunday evenings, beginning tonight, we'll have our handbell choir, our children's choir, we'll have nursery for the smaller children, and then we'll have a Bible study on different topics throughout the year. Tonight, the topic will be the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and then starting next week, we'll start a series on discipleship. And then on the last Sunday of the month, so that'll be pretty much the schedule for most Sundays, but on the last Sunday of the month, Sunday evening, we're going to have a special worship service in the sanctuary. And this service will be very similar to the one that we hosted back in December that the youth helped with. And I encourage you to be involved in Sunday evenings. And I think that the Lord can use Sunday evenings in a special way in our church family, in our community. And so I encourage you to be involved. Also, this year, as you may know, we are seeking to fill two ministry positions. We're seeking to fill a director of children's ministry position as well as a director of youth ministry position. And so I want to continue to pray. I want us to continue to pray about that and ask the Lord to fill those positions with the people that He wants to step into that position. One, we already have a candidate for the director of children's ministry position. She'll be with us on Wednesday, January 15th at 6:30. And this will be a time where you'll be able to meet her and do Q&A with her and get to know her a little bit. And this is really an exciting time for our church family, I believe. And I think it's exciting to see just and imagine what the Lord can do in and through us. Some other ways that we want to look forward is in our budget. Several months ago, we passed this new budget for this year, which again, I think is a very conservative yet vision-driven budget that will serve our church and our community well. And I want us to trust the Lord with our giving and seek to meet and even exceed our budget again this year. When we think about outreach, we want to continue to do several of the outreach ministries that we've done in the past, such as the Share Room and Vacation Bible School. But we also want to continue to think creatively in how we can engage our city with the gospel, with ministries and outreaches such as the 40 Days of Ministry. Because it's really through the individual as well as corporate church-wide initiatives and outreach that we will see people come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And as I think about all these and other things as well, you know, wouldn't it be great to see the Lord, you know, do all those things and more in 2014? You know, this is an exciting time for our church. It's a time full of potential. It's a time full of opportunity. And that's the vision. That's looking forward into the future and thinking about what could be if the Lord chooses to do it. So now let's come back to the present. You know, Thomas Edison once said that vision without execution is hallucination. Vision without execution is hallucination. And so, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take out the card that's in your bulletin. You know, in order for this vision to become a reality, we must trust the Lord. You know, there are things that only the Lord can do, and we must take steps of faith. And what you should have in your hand that was in your bulletin is called what I'm calling a resolve card. And you see there I have a definition of what resolve means. It means to make a definite and serious decision to do something. And on this card, you'll see several challenges. And what I want you to do is to consider taking one of these challenges during the month of January. Thinking about what would be a step of faith for you during the month of January. And just read through these and see. And feel free to add others if you would like to. But those are five of the ones I thought about that would maybe help us to take steps of faith this year. Now, some of you may read this and say, you know, Ron, offer to pray for someone, I already do that. Well, I would encourage you to choose another one that would push you out of your comfort zone a little bit. So if you already feel very comfortable asking people to pray for them, then maybe you can invite someone to Sunday school or to the worship service or share the gospel with someone and give them an opportunity to respond to Christ. Or maybe you can share your personal testimony with someone. And so I want you to prayerfully consider embracing one of these, at least one of these five challenges during the month of January as we seek to take steps of faith and see the Lord make this vision into a reality in our church family. And I believe that God can use us, use me, use you, use our church family in the life of this community in a powerful way. But we must live with intentionality. You know, Christ-centered intentionality. And all of us, you know, all of us are busy. I know that. And it's Henry David Thoreau that said, "It's not enough to be busy, so are the ants. The question is, what are we busy about?" And as a church, I hope that we are busy about what our mission is as a church, and that is to glorify God and be the body of Christ in this community. I was reading in the Gospel of Matthew, and I was struck by a passage that I read in chapter 13. In Matthew 13, verses 53 through 58, this is what Matthew writes. He says, "And when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there, and coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, 'Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? Are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where did this man get all these things?' And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief.'" And what we see here is that it wasn't that Jesus lacked the ability to do mighty works in Nazareth, but rather it was an issue of the people did not want him to do mighty works in their midst. They didn't believe him and believe in who he was. And I don't think any of us want to be put in the category of those in Nazareth. I mean, we want to believe the Lord. And we want to see the Lord do mighty works in our midst, in our lives, and in the life of our church. And so let us be a church that remembers well, that remembers what Christ has done for us. And out of that redemption, out of that salvation, out of that gracious deliverance that Christ has accomplished for us, let us trust the Lord and move forward and ask Him to do mighty works in and through us as a church family. Now let us pray together as we consider these challenges. God, we come to You and we acknowledge that these ideas can only be accomplished through Your work. Lord, we know You do not need us, but You choose to use us. You choose to use people that are willing to be used by You, people of faith that have been delivered through the power of Jesus Christ and are filled with Your Spirit. Lord, would we be a church that allows You through Your Holy Spirit to do great things in and through us? Whether it's just offering to pray for somebody or inviting them to Sunday school, calling them to see how they're doing, inviting them to worship service, sharing the gospel with someone, sharing our testimony with someone, leading a Sunday school class, singing in the choir, giving of our resources, our time, our talents. Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would prick the hearts of the people here in a way that would lead them in the direction that you want them to go. And I pray as a church, Lord, that we would see your mighty hand at work like we did last year and even more so this year. And we trust you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.